Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a queer and Latinx podcast where we talk about topics like
Albus Potter and Scorpius Malfoy in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, where they strike up this friendship that's like a little bit much. I'm like, okay, this is
okay.
This cannot be straight. And then like literally 98% of the movie is them two like having this adventure and being close and being an unlikely friendship.
They always talk about how connected they are in the book. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm. And it was like this unrequited love thing too. It was like almost Romeo and Juliet. And then at the very last, like 2% of the book, they're like, oh yeah, they have crushes on girls. Like, no, they don't.
Such a fucking cop out. God. Like, what's poppin', chingona? I'm right beside you.
Yeah, this is weird. Can you please go to the other room and I can FaceTime you?
Yeah, we're just FaceTime each other from the living room. It's work.
It's the only way I'm gonna be comfortable from now on.
Yeah, it's like, what, human right now in front of me though?
Right in front of my salad. Dude, so we did an interview yesterday.
Oh my god,
we can't really talk about it
yet. Cannot.
But in a week, next week, you guys will be hearing one of the most inspirational people that I've ever met.
Honestly, for me, it was like I contained my fangirling as much as I could. And sometimes it would come out. But yeah, it's a super special, super important, super like, oh my god, inspiring.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
If you're like a creator of any sort, like god, you have to tune in and share it with all your friends. But
yes,
SUSC podcast on Instagram and Twitter, cabronasychingonas.com.
5 stars only.
I know, guys, go rate and review. I always forget to say it at the beginning of the episode, so I'm so glad I remembered. But please rate and review the podcast, because that's like the freest, best thing that you can do for us.
Yeah, honestly, because there's not like a lot of queer Latinas or Latinx folk out here making podcasts and trying to take back the movie review.
Yeah, not a lot of them talking about media out here. So and also like I just really like reading them.
Shout out to that. I just really like watching movies, so here we are. But yeah, so
I'm excited for today's topic. It's kind of, honestly, we wanted to just make an episode about America Ferrera.
Yeah.
But the theme of this episode really is going to be more about labor.
Oh my god. And how undocumented people labor, how being at the bottom of the workforce, you labor. So it's tough. It's tough out here.
It is, dude. I mean, like, I was in retail for such a long time.
Oh my god, retail is one of those things.
I was like literally in like customer service type of job since I was like 15 until I think I was like 22 or 23.
Oh god, and you always end up working there longer than you mean to.
Right, but I'm like, oh, this is just temporary, and then you just fucking live there.
Yeah, you end up like taking overtime, taking shifts, also because capitalism is evil and you have to pay for school, so that's why I was there.
Yeah, though honestly, overtime paid for my college, so thank you so much.
I hadn't had a weekend off in like 5-6 years.
God.
Yeah, it was, I mean, two jobs, like going to school and working, and like it feels like school's full time and then work is like 30 hours versus 20, so it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. It was actually full time and at school and work.
Oh my god.
For a solid year, and I was working overtime.
Oh my god. How did you make it?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
You know, when you're like in the early 20s, you basically have superpowers.
Oh, that's right. That's when you go out and you stay out till like 5,
yeah,
like, and you come
didn't
back
sleep,
home.
Didn't do anything.
Get changed and go back to work.
Right. But not literally, I'm 26 years old and I don't know how people do it, how they have two jobs and hobbies and kids and all these things that my mom had to do when she was my age and she had me at this age.
And we think about that. Like, we think about our parents working, you know, like my mom, I don't even know how she did it. She'd clean like multiple houses in a day and then still have two kids. Like, how?
And my mom would take care of somebody else's kids and then come home and be like, oh, these kids.
Mine. Oh my god. Yeah, we never talk about how they labor, like our people labor, you know, undocumented people, and how they get treated in the United States. Like, it's us, you know, we're entitled. Like, we, not entitled, but like, Americans.
Like, we have a privilege,
but, yeah,
like,
we have this privilege.
Even in, like, comparison, though, like, I think that some people, like, especially if you're not, like, children of immigrants, like, they can't even, can they even fathom, you know what I mean? Like, what it is to grow up and just watch that and feel that pressure. That's something we're going to talk about next week as well, is feeling the pressure of being the child of an immigrant and, like, how much they, honestly, they do deserve, like, everything that they want. Like, they deserve everything.
Shout out to our immigrant parents, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but God bless them.
They're killing it.
Killing it. Killing the game. Yeah. Oh, God. I don't miss anything about retail. Like, I'm just so glad. And it's not even that it's, like, hard work. It's easy. The only thing about, like, working in retail is that, like, you get the most ridiculous situations and you get regular people that aren't handled to, like, you're not prepared to handle it. Mm-hmm. It's like when someone tells you that someone's, like, defecated in, like, a dressing room, you're just like, wait, what? And they poured clothes all over it to hide it. And then it's like, shit, oh, got my real. God. Literally. Like, not figuratively. Like, it actually happens. And
stuff. Yeah, no, you'd be surprised how many poop incidents happen in retail. Shout out to American Vandal, by the way, season 2. And I don't know how they could possibly have canceled American Vandal. No. Like, what the fuck is wrong with them?
I just started watching it yesterday because of you. Like, we just, like, stayed up watching it. And it was the most amazing, genius thing I've ever seen. Like, next to, like, The Daily Show, I don't feel like anyone's doing this. That's how innovative I feel it is. Like, The Daily Show back in, like, whenever it came out. Like, in the early 90s or something. It's so amazing.
It's, like, just this, like, they're just doing things in a really new way. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, season 2 was pretty damn good, and it just came out, and it's, like, it's good. Like, Netflix is on some shit. People are writing about how Netflix is starting to be, like, networks where they, you know, they're not about just popularity. They're about what's making them money, and apparently American Vandal isn't doing enough for them. But it's a solid show.
Oh, my God. Please, someone pick this show up. It doesn't matter who you are. I will get cable. That's okay. That's a big statement. No. I will pay for that subscription to something to watch.
I feel like somebody could possibly pick it up. Though, usually it's Netflix, the one that picks up, not drops. But whatever, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know how they're going to get that one. But.
Yeah. But, yeah, back to what I was talking about. Like, yeah. Retail. I will say I gained some amazing friends working in retail. It's like when you go through trauma together, like, you end up closer. So shout out to Cordarian and Abel and Cynthia for, like, going through hell with me, I guess.
Oh, which job was it? You don't have to say which one, but you can say the food one.
The lesbian hardware store one.
Yeah, my thing was surrounded by a bunch of, like, tools all day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Anyways, that's it. That's all I gained from retail. And I guess, like, a slight hatred for humanity.
Yeah, there's no faith in humanity once you've seen what people do. Like, and it's just carelessly. It's not like they're, like, going. Some people do go around just trying to make your life miserable. That happens too. You know what I had fun doing, though? At the store that I worked at, we had, what is that? Wagons? Where you put, like, little toddlers in, like, 2-year-olds.
Okay.
They put me in one, and, like, we just, like, I was like, hey, pull me around the store while I do go bags. And they were just like,
oh, God.
Yeah, they piled up the wagon with all the stuff we had to take back and dragged me around. It was so funny.
Wow.
Shout out to getting paid minimum wage. Anyways.
Yeah, I would just get drunk and lunch doing adult things, you
know?
No. Not often, though. And
that's so funny. Would you go to your car?
Like, we had really long lunches, so it's whatever.
Like a 2-hour lunch? Or
no, like an hour.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's long in retail.
It's long, yeah.
You get 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I would get 30 minutes at my last job, my last job or whatever. Yeah. Now my current job, like, I just eat while I'm working.
That's lit.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not leaving. I'm going to keep working.
Shout out to freelancing.
Yeah, freelancing is fucking wild.
Go you.
Anyways,
yeah, we really got into that.
Yeah, so today, like I said, these two things that we're talking about today do have to do with America Ferrera, and they also have to do with labor.
Yes. Kind of like a little less America Ferrera than, yeah, I remember, but it was,
I mean,
cool.
A lot in mine probably, but
yeah, a lot in yours.
But yeah, do you want to go first or should I go first?
Do you want me to go first for once?
For once. It used to be you always went first, and then recently I've gone first. Like, and I'm like, this is weird.
I know, because I was like, I think she's good now. We can switch it.
Let's go with yours first, because it's a little older, and I think a lot more people have seen it.
Yes, okay. So, today I'm going to be covering, like, an oldie, goldie. It's old, not old, but maybe for y'all.
I mean, okay, when maybe I say old, kids. It's not maybe, from this decade.
Maybe for the kids, not us. For us, it's, like, brand new. It just came out last year, basically, in our minds, because we're old. But anyways, I'm covering Under the Same Moon. It came out in 2007. Had Kate Del Castillo and Carlitos Reyes, I think his name is Alonso, as leads. And also a recent fave, I didn't realize, anyways, he was connected to the Casa de Flores, but Eugenio Derbez.
Eugenio?
What's his name?
Eugenio.
Eugenio Derbez. See, look, I corrected myself. I was like, okay, woo, thank you, because none of my tios are named that, oddly enough.
Well, mine neither. I just watch TV.
Yeah, I don't really watch him in things. All I know is that he was in that, either. Like, a really famous Spanish movie.
The Peluches? Oh, no.
Los Peluches.
He's in this. I thought he was. Isn't he the guy in the Peluches TV show?
He's a comedian, right?
He still is.
He's not. He's okay. Anyways, they are the leads of this very, very special film. And, you know, watching this as, like, 27 now, like, I actually got teary-eyed, like, several times during this movie, like, very emotional without, like, even realizing, because there was just so many themes that are just so present today in this movie. It's about actually, like, crossing the border. It's actually about how dangerous and hard that is, and they basically included every single danger an immigrant faces as they come to the United States, both from the male's perspective and, I guess, the femme perspective, because while the man had to, like, labor, he had to go, and I mean, not saying that women don't labor in the same way, they do, but he went to the to vegetable farm to, like, pick tomatoes. And I've never seen, like, when I really think about it, you don't watch movies from their perspective, and you don't get to watch, like, the actual danger it presents when you're working, like, you know, bajo, under the table, and you're just getting paid cash. But, like, you know, all the pesticides that are actually on the tomatoes and what the workers face every day by trying not to touch themselves because of all the crazy ass chemicals, and they didn't provide gloves.
I can't even go like 5 minutes while touching my face, man. I don't know.
Imagínate, and like you're out there and it's back-breaking labor. And they actually showed them getting raided by INS, which is like, it's actually ICE now.
It's ICE now, I think back 10 years ago, when this movie INS. Came out, it was like INS or something.
And they show them getting raided by La Migra. I mean, actually, someone yells out La Migra and a bunch of brown people run. So that was pretty typical of Hollywood.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But honestly, like,
my mom said that did happen, though.
Yeah,
like, my dad, too. My dad was like, no, they really do say La Migra en todos corren. And I was like, okay, gotcha.
God, but it's like, you know, I don't know what happened, but, like, for everybody to kind of just, like, know about that, because, like, I remember, like, when I was in, like, junior high and stuff like that, like, kids would, like, say it, like, whatever, to be funny. You know what I mean?
It was a really bad teenage joke.
It really was.
God. And every brown kid did it not every brown kid, but there was always one asshole who would do it.
Like, why were we so problematic as kids? God.
Yeah, and we all would run, too. So, it's this thing that's just been known to us. Like, since we've been little, like, we've always, like, I think we just overheard our parents, you know, reliving maybe the trauma in, like, a funny way. So, I guess that's what people do when they have a lot of trauma. They just try to find a way to deal with it other way than humor, very bad, cynical humor. But it's cool. But they talk about that. They talk about working in restaurants and what that means when you're undocumented. And then,
shout out to Undocumented Tales.
Oh, hey, shout out Undocumented Tales. You got me on to that. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And then also talking from the femme perspective and, like, looking for work and having to, like, sew. And it felt really cool to see someone cleaning houses that wasn't, like, wearing a maid's outfit. And they weren't called a maid.
Like, who fucking does that? Even if, like, this is going to sound really fucking wide of me, but even if you watch, like, Real Housewives, like, even there, like, you know, people that work in their homes, they don't wear these little maid outfits. Like,
fuck is that?
Like, that's, there's no point to that.
Like, they're nurses. Like, you don't wear that.
I know. What anyways, is that? Go, like, on.
Yeah, anyways. And then you get to see, like, she's not this stereotype. Like, she has this full life, and she has all this happening with her son and being away from him, and that's what the story is about. Like, it's a world tour of, like, what immigrants have to go through when they get here, and also, like, this really, really emotional story between a mother and her son and trying to reconnect through, you know, all this huge distance. And it's, I really like the way they shot it, because they would show a scene with, like, her waking up and saying, "Are you up?" And then him waking up and going, "Yes." And I love the way they shot that intro. Do you remember that?
Where they, well, yeah, the intro where they're just, like, it's, like, a full-on parallel. It's, like, they are just living for each other, which is really
and I cute. Love that decision that the director made. I was like, oh, that's a yes, boo. I love this. This is amazing. And I think I started, like, tearing up right at the beginning, where you just see him, like, waiting at the... Okay, guys, there's something in here you haven't seen in years. A payphone.
Yeah, I was like, why are they using payphones? But then I remembered. That's 10 years. 10 years ago. 10 years of technology has just, like, made a fucking difference, man. Now you have WhatsApp.
You have WhatsApp, and then before that you had the money card. What is it? La tarjeta de... What is it? I used to sell them at the Mexican grocery store where I worked. Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, just
you saw a lot of them. The calling cards. So, like, Central and South America and to Mexico. So
yeah.
It was pretty cool. Anyways, he waits at this, like, payphone every Sunday and waits for a phone call, and I just thought that was, like, the sweetest thing, and they would count down to see each other. And on the eve of his 9th birthday, she gives him a call on that Sunday, and this is really important to the plot, like, because it kind of gives you a time reference of when all of this is taking place. So the movie's taking place between 1 week and a phone call, and it's actually really beautiful the way they shot their story. And the fucked up part is that this is like an idealization of, like, what we wish would happen if kids could just see their moms, and this is the easiest way for them to get to that, because now that's not going to happen because of everything happening at the border with kids. So it's pretty depressing to think about.
Yeah. I mean, fucking shit, like, this story, like, honestly, remade today could be so much more grim.
It's the saddest, like, I don't want anyone to remake this at all. Don't touch this. No reboot or remake of this story, because everything would have to be much darker and
more the grim. Only thing that they could do that I would be like, okay, this is fine, a sequel where Carlitos grows up to be a badass that fights ICE agents and defeats them.
Oh my god, yes, like a superhero story. But it, like, because basically this movie was kind of a superhero story, like, it's very heroic, and it makes this little charming 9-year-old like the star in the center, and you see him just being amazing. What I would suggest is they could make one where
Eugenio.
What does it say?
There's an E before the U.
What is it?
Eugenio.
Eugenio? Okay, if his character, they did a remake where he got to go to New York, and, like, I have this thing in my head where he wants to go to New York because he wants to be, like, a musician or an actor, you know? Because I actually think that would make him much more interesting as a human. If he was like, no, I don't, because the whole movie he's just being sullen to Carlitos because he's kind of just jealous at how popular and amazing he is, because he's great, he's the best. And then, you know, homeboy's just mad, and I want his backstory to be that he wants to go to New York specifically so he can be like an actor or a musician. That'd be really cool. What if he does like indie Mexican music, you know?
He's the next Cuco.
Like, but yeah, that's what I envisioned when I was watching this. I was like, what's his backstory? Like, there's so much there that they can't really explore. They don't have time. But it was really amazing. And it takes place in 7 days. And it's a world tour of like immigrant stories going wrong, going right. It just makes me think of like every immigrant crossing now, whether, you know, they're Latino or something else, you know, people coming here in a different way, but we all kind of assume this American idea, and that's for everyone that immigrates here too, is that there's this idea of what the American dream is, and then when they get here, they realize that's not the truth, that you're not gonna, you know, levantar dinero from the street, you know, like, that's what they think. And my mom told me she thought that, you know. She's like, no, when you're on the other side, everyone just thinks coming to the United States, you're just going to pick up money. And I like that this movie is centering a different kind of American dream. And it's kind of beautiful, because her dream is just to have her kid back, and that's what's really wild, you know? Like, some people's American dream is just be able to bring their kids over, and that's like, ugh, tear. Ugh, I'm getting emotional. But yeah, so, I don't know. Five pundits to share this movie.
So, the reason that really America Ferrera isn't really known for being in this movie is because she has, like, I mean, they show a little of everything in this movie. They also really show... you know, some of the negativity, Chicanos. Like the Chicanos.
There's a big anti-Chicano thing going on.
So she plays this, like, yeah, this Chicana who doesn't speak English, and, like, they make a point to, like, really bash them for that, which, you know, like, these days we're, like, we know better than to just bash people who don't know Spanish, you know what I mean? And I appreciate me a fluent speaker, but...
but this was, like, from the point of view of people from the otro lado, you mm-hmm. know? Like, and they do have that. I mean, my cousins talk shit to me all the time, the ones I like. And they, you know, they'll make fun of me for not speaking Spanish the way I should. But...
whatever that means.
It's a very true statement, though. Like, they are kind of like that.
But, I mean, this particular person that America plays is just, like, trying to make money, you know? She's like,
pay for college.
Yeah, but also, like, she's trying to, like, I don't know, like, it does seem a little sinister. She's like, I can, like, transport babies. I'll transport babies. Like, it felt uncomfortable to me.
Yeah, because transporting babies means, like, where's the mom and, like, what's going on with that situation? Like,
I mean, I don't know. It's just whatever. They just... the lady, I mean, immediately yeah. knew the lady, because there's a lady who...
She's in Coyote.
Yeah.
She and doesn't. That's who Carlitos works for, by right. the way. He gets all this money from working with her, and no one knows he's not supposed to be working with her, and that's when he gets the idea that he's going to cross over one day to go see his mom. And I think he's had that in his mind for years, because she's been gone for 4 years.
And has it been that long?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. We call each other, but yeah.
So is 2007, there man. Anything else plot-wise that you want to talk about? I feel like you kind of just...
Yeah, I talked about my feelings, and then I got emotional. Mm-hmm. Plot-wise, I like the pacing of them changing. Like, every day was, like, a new adventure, kind of, you know? But it's cute, you know? The whole concept is adorable to make it in, like, 7 days, and him every day go on, like, a new immigrant adventure. I can see them pitching this now. But I actually really thought it was interesting that, like, they were showing child labor as well. Like, it wasn't just about, like, immigrant labor. He was like a child getting jobs at a restaurant, and I was like, yeah, you gotta make it work. But then, you know, America always, like, sighs and kind of looks down on child labor, but in Mexico it's kind of sometimes just super normal, and here too. But they showed child labor, because he didn't just labor there and not get noticed. He also labored picking tomatoes, and no one noticed him. He was just back there, just chilling. They also showed the way that, like, housekeepers get treated as less, and, you know, they could work a whole day and not get paid just because their asshole Versace wearing friggin' toucan a fucking nosed bitch doesn't want to pay them. So it was actually really, I don't know. It just made me think about,
no, like, no shame to big noses.
Yeah, but just when it's, like, when you're a bigot, we don't like your nose because you're a bigot.
Yeah, no matter what it looks like. Not because of
your nose. We love noses. Just if you're a bigot, we don't love you. But, yeah, like, it just bossed her not to be a bigot, and she lost her labor for the week. And that just could happen to anyone. And it made me
Yeah, like, what is she going to do? Report him? Like, it's, like...
She can't do anything. Like, it's not a legit business.
That's so freaking troubling, dude. Like, I don't know. It makes me... pissed off.
Makes me think of my mom, because, like, that's what she did for years, and I was like, you know, I never thought to ask her that. Like, what happens, you know, someone just not paid you?
Man, mom was a bad bitch, man. She'll freaking, like, get it done. But mom was also very lucky to get her residency pretty early on, and then eventually her citizenship. But before she got that stuff, like, I don't know,
it's really rough out here. Like, we can't even begin to understand, because, you know, we're privileged enough to not have to think about that. But it's really heavy. But yeah, it just made me think of different aspects of immigrant life, and her having to, like, decide between marrying a citizen, which is a very, very normal, we know,
concern. Like, it's just, like, a thing.
Yeah, like, just so she can, like, drive, you know, like getting your driver's license. Well, in Texas, you weren't able to get it if you weren't a citizen, if you didn't have a social security number. So just being able to drive, just being able to do regular things that we take for granted every day. And she's like, you know, do I have to marry a whole other human being just for me to be able to drive, you know? So it's really difficult out here. And to think about, you know, that's a lot of people's situations. So not just Latinos, you know, it's if you're an immigrant. I mean, not if you're a white immigrant, let's get that right. But if you're like a person of color immigrating here, that's a very real option that you have to actually think about. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's rough stuff, but it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in forever.
Tears, bro,
tears. I remember it made such a big deal. It was a big deal. Like, oh, I was in high school at the time. It was just a big deal. Like, everybody was talking about it. Like, you know what I mean? Because
yeah, like, it's...
Because stars in oh, yeah, Latino America
had... Kate del Castillo was in it? What?
Yeah, and Eugenio Derbez. They were both, like, big names in our communities. And then all of a sudden, they were in this, like, commercial Hollywood thing. And it was, like... People were like really feeling it and stuff and weren't being dicks about it. You know what I mean? Like it was like the Brokeback Mountain, you know what I mean? Like it just kind of like opened a lot of people's eyes, I think. Obviously not enough people's eyes because, wow, we're still ended up with the fucking Trump and the presidency. But anyways.
It was really good. I mean, it hit our community pretty evenly. I feel like the Latinx or immigrant community really was like, well, especially the Latinx community was really riding for this film. Like my dad saw this movie, like my mom, most people I know, even if they don't like movies because they work, they got shit to do, I feel like even they watched it and they, yeah, felt so seen. Like I remember I think that was the only time my dad and my mom both felt super seen, you know. And I think about that, like us just feeling seen, like being an immigrant too, like,
yeah, like if we're not represented, I mean they are not represented.
And then if they are, they're just these background characters,
or they're like very like criminalized and all this shit. Like, yeah,
I think that was the person my dad probably saw himself and was like, cool, like he's not like going to jail. I mean, he's going to jail, but
we don't know that.
We don't know what happens to him. Okay, but it's, but yeah, I think that was the first time they really got to see themselves in American media as more than just some background character. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to be talking about today?
So I'm talking about Superstore today.
I love this.
Which also gets into like undocumented issues and work, being a worker and undocumented, and how like tough that situation can be. But before I get to that, to give a little background, Superstore premiered like December of 2015 on NBC. It went really like unnoticed, but I was like America Ferrera
in anything, right?
Yeah, so okay. I was there. It's currently airing on Thursday nights. It's already on its fifth season. Like it really is doing it. Like
it's on its fifth season.
It's on its fifth season now.
Wow,
it's currently airing. And it's just not your typical sitcom. It's like people have described it as like the love child of Parks and Rec and The Office, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
but
it is.
It's like, I mean, it's not a coincidence either. Justin Spitzer, who's the creator and showrunner and executive producer, he wrote on for The Office for 7 years. So it's not like a coincidence. Like, obviously, he was inspired. But
it's really good.
It's not exactly like The Office. Like, nobody acknowledges the camera, nobody looks into the camera. It's not like based on a reality series, nothing like that. It's you know, a sitcom, but it is a single camera sitcom, so it's not like a single set with five cameras or whatever. It's there's no laugh track, thank the gods.
Thank god.
So yeah, it stars America Ferrera, as I've said 100 times, and she's also a producer for the show, and she has directed before on this show. I think she had her directorial debut on this show.
Wow.
She was one of the last actors to be announced for the main cast, and I mean, it's not really a surprise that she got the lead role and a producing credit, because I mean, it's time for her to get hers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was pretty cool about her too is she is Honduran, and she made her character Honduran American, just like yourself.
Oh wait, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I thought that was pretty dope. And yeah, but the show follows like several people. I would say she's the main character. Her and Ben Feldman, I think is his name, plays Jonah. I think them two are the main characters. But it follows the lives of like a lot of people. Like it's like a Walmart, so it's the superstore is literally like fucking huge. It's like they literally have everything, like anything that you can name, they have it. So Walmart, and they have a lot of like really quirky people. So I guess I'm gonna start getting into some of the characters, because I think that's one of the what makes the show so interesting is the variety of people. At the top of the chain is Glenn. He's like the he's the store manager, and he's like this really nervous man of God who has this ridiculous voice. I think he's Canadian because I've heard him like accidentally say a boot.
A boot?
But he's like always doing something ridiculous because he's like misled by his beliefs or whatever it is. I don't know. And then there's Dina, who I think is Fred Bobita's favorite.
I love her.
She's great. She's like not great with social cues, but
she has no understanding of like how to socialize,
but she's so confident, you know what I mean? And she's like a bigger woman, she's tall and she's like a little thick, and like, but she's just the most confident person in the world. Like, she completely understands herself, she's very outspoken, and she's very honest
and about everything.
Like, she like
there's
and
no
she
filter also, there there's no such thing as TMI,
right? And she also gets like herself into crazy situations, of course, because she like goes about some ridiculous manner to accomplish something that she really believes in, but it's
we're
just
not really entirely sure what she believes in other than the manual of books in the manual rules, excuse me.
Yeah, she's like a big like law abider, but she'll like break the law to defend it, like, you know, like she's just wild out. But yeah, she there's also Amy, who's America Ferrera's character. She's like cynical, she's angry, she's smart. Like, honestly, I love her character because she's not like some over like the typical stuff, like over sexualized. She's not like a single mom who blah blah blah, like, you know what I mean? Like,
she's not a trope.
She's not, yeah, she like defies a lot of tropes. And she is also she's obviously gets like pretty riled up whenever the new guy Jonah gets there, who's this like very privileged straight white guy who's like got like okay, you know, socially approved looks. And he's like and he comes in with these assumptions and he's like, well, actually, you know, like he's that kind of a guy. He starts stirring shit up. I mean, especially with Amy, like Amy of all people, who has to deal with him directly because she's like the floor supervisor. And anyways, let me move on to the other characters. So there's also Garrett. He's one of the funniest and like most self-aware characters. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, whenever other people are doing ridiculous shit, he's just like, well, I'm going along for this ride because this is going to be hilarious. And he also happens to be in a wheelchair, and he's in charge of announcements at the store. He's played by Colton Dunn, who's a black man and in real life isn't disabled. But still, like, that representation is something better than nothing. But I think, like, you know what I mean? To have a character like that played by this dude who is actually portrayed as like one of the coolest guys in
the
school.
He's literally the coolest person in the store.
He's like super cool. And like him being in a wheelchair is only ever a plot line whenever it's like somebody trying to like
take advantage of his disability.
Right. And he's just like, he can see it coming from a mile ahead and like is super cool about like how he finagles his way out of that shit. So he's just one of the coolest dudes ever. And the other character I want to talk about is Cheyenne. She's like, she plays,
I love her.
She plays a pregnant teenager whose baby daddy is pretty trash. But we kind of learn like to not just discount him for his appearance, you know what I mean? Because he's like trash.
But he's like really woke trash.
Yeah, he has his moments.
Every single one of his rap lyrics is like,
he tries to be super woke, yeah.
He's woke.
But she's played by Nicole Bloom, and she's half Japanese, so super cool. The next one is Nico Santos. He plays Mateo, who's a non-documented gay Filipino man who you might recognize as the actor who is the gay cousin on Crazy Rich Asians. Who, I'm sorry, he did not pull off that English accent, but Mateo's great. Like, his character, we find out later, is undocumented, and he's working at this Walmart type of place. And he also has, you know, like, that's not his only storyline. He's also, like, he wants to be the best worker. He wants to be this and that. He wants to, has a dating life, you know what I mean? Like,
what? The show's dating life?
Yeah. Awesome. So I just think he's one of the funniest characters ever. And I love that he gets to be, like, the way that he interacts with other people. Like, he gets to be really himself.
Oh yeah, he definitely does. And that's pretty realistic. Everything about this is like what a really like a real retail store looks like. So that's what's crazy. It's like the workforce there actually does look like this, and everyone is kind of weird and quirky. So
yeah, like those are pretty much the main characters. There's a few other like recurring characters that are in the store. But what's cool is that it does it similar to The Office to me, is that it doesn't have like every single person is not generally attractive, you know what I mean? Like, or by social like standards. They have people of every shape, like us. Size, weight, like gender, like everything. Like they have an old woman who is like for some reason just super wild. They have like they have everything. They have like this one chunky white lady who pretends to be like the life of the party. I don't know. They have like a lot of people who we see in our day-to-day lives where they try to be something and it's just funny. I don't know. I just think that it's really cool that they don't discriminate and they have like all kinds of people working at the store just as it is in real life. Yeah. Though I will say I feel like they would have a lot more young people working at in retail, you know what I mean?
Cause people... Well, technically Cheyenne is like the only cash register one that they like character they include, because everyone else is kind of from like on the floor, their floor associates. So technically she probably has like a lot of teenage cashiers and she's just like one of them.
Well, she does floor. Well, she's on the floor a lot too.
She's on the floor a lot?
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's not like it doesn't really adhere to like your like the retail rules, because it's a fucking TV show.
Yeah,
because so
I was fine. Like, wait, that's not how it works. There's a cashier and there's
yeah, like in real life, you have cashiers who all they do is cashier.
But in this store, just floor associate.
Yeah, in this store, everybody does literally everything, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean that's how it is in real stores though.
No, it's not.
Oh,
everybody doesn't do everything.
Oh no, I see. My old sports store that I used to work at, like
everybody did everything.
Well, I had been there so long, they were just like, go anywhere, and I'm like, gotcha.
That's
like,
wild. No, at my store, like you had your section, and you do what.
But yeah, I was like the admin. Like I wasn't even supposed to be on the floor, but they were like, you want extra time, and I needed to pay for school, so I was in every department. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, but this is a show.
Yeah, this is a television show. They don't give a fuck. Whatever it takes to make the plot line work, that episode is fine.
They really go there with that too. Like it's whatever it takes.
Yeah, somebody literally will spend a whole shift dressing up mannequins. So, yeah,
that feels real to retail.
Right.
Just not for fun. You don't do it for fun.
No. One thing that you should really pay attention to if you go watch the show, which is on Hulu, by the way, it's the transitions. They have the fucking weirdest transitions. Like, in between scenes, there will be a dude taking a poop on a model toilet.
That is their transition. Or a little kid.
Or a little kid, yeah, like, playing and breaking plates. Like, anything goes. Like, something wild is always
all
happening.
All the crazy shit you see behind when you scenes work there.
Because the retail workers are too busy dealing with their drama, you know, which... It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. And every now and then they'll have like a super side storyline with one of the customers who like, and
one customer spends like 6 hours buying a toothbrush.
God. And then we find out his kids were waiting in the car the whole time.
Oh my God.
Anyways, the creators and the writers do like a really good job of making this really entertaining, but they still integrate like a lot of normal day-to-day things that the characters go through, like literally divorce, misogyny, like poverty, abortion, religion.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah,
everything, like every subject
you can
think
of. I mean, honestly, that's true to working in a store, like in retail. It's like you spend 30 hours with these strangers, you're gonna talk about everything.
Yeah, and you're gonna, especially when you have a variety, like a true variety of people, you're gonna get like a variety of problems, a variety of issues, because like, man, there was everything from like fucking old like Republican white men at my store to like young black Democratic gay guys, like it's, you know, you're gonna get some issues.
And you have to work together, so that's even more interesting.
Right.
Dear God.
So, I just think that this show is just doing a really, really good job of, like, you know, like, portraying real people, which is weird to say. Like, obviously, it's, like, gonna be exaggerated and a little worse than real life. Like, a lot of people would get fired for a lot of shit that they do in this show.
Oh, they do so much fireable shit.
Yeah.
Like, problematic thing I did was, like, ride a bike and a skateboard. In the store after we closed, we would ride it up and down the entire store. See, it was fun working in a sports store. We used to play ping pong.
She was just on wheels all day, apparently.
No one noticed.
But yeah, I think it's such a worthwhile show watching. I'm sure a lot of people are already watching or have seen a few episodes, but I think that it's just not like any other sitcom that I've seen. And once again, it's a one like a single camera show. Like those are great. Like those are well shot.
I just love this show. Thank you for making me watching it because I was like, this is amazing. I love this show. Like, 5 pandutsis for this show.
5 pandutsis.
Let me give it.
I would give it no cafecitos. You don't really need
You don't need
cafecitos for
any
this.
cafecitos for this. Just like,
Yeah.
go support. Like, America Ferrera doing shit is like my favorite thing. Like, shout out to her forever.
Yeah.
So just
So,
keep making shit, America Ferrera. We'll
and
watch
like,
it.
isn't she like going to like Richland over there in Dallas
I
for
think she
like a
already
thing?
went.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I could be wrong.
You may, I don't know, but that's kind of cool. She's really into like, she's tuned into politics and she's doing her part and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, shout out her forever.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, to close out the show,
What would you like to?
we're gonna give some shout outs to some Patreon supporters, because if you guys don't know, we make post extra content on Patreon every 4th week. So 1, 2, 3 weeks of regular episodes, and the 4th week is on Patreon only. But it's cheap if you guys want to listen to that.
Yeah, we have like stuff starting at like $1 a month, so it's super chill.
Yeah.
You guys should do it and help some brown chicks make some stuff.
It's how we have a website and how we have this podcast or whatever.
Yes, it is. It pays for
All
it. We
that
thank
shit.
you. We love you. And I guess we should go ahead and start.
Yeah. So if you guys, I know that you guys are probably going to want to be like, okay, well, I'm tuning out of this. That's fine. Go
That's
follow
fine.
us at CYC Podcast and rate and review, which is free. And
Oh yeah, and if you rate and review us, let us know in the DM or email, and we will definitely be mailing out some stickers. Just let us know, free sticker.
for sure. Without further ado, let's talk about some Patreon supporters who we adore.
Oh, we love y'all, like for real, for real. Aaron, I love you. You're my favorite person. Let's play Mario Kart at lunch together. You helped me get through my shitty ass work day. Thank you for being the funny, sarcastic one.
Alicia, you're super cool. I want to go to Australia, because I was doing the math the other day and I was like, I think I'm closer to Australia now that I'm on the West Coast.
Oh,
I
you
don't know.
are.
Yeah,
Look, 3 less hours.
something like that. I hate being on planes. Anyways, thank you for your continued support. You're the best.
You're the best. Shout out Chrissy. Sharp Objects is the show. Let me know how it went. I want to definitely talk about it because it's super scary and I'm glad you finally can watch it. Shout out Raciel. Oh my God. Okay. I can't wait to have game night. We probably already had game night. It's already probably been your birthday. So happy late birthday. And we're the same age. I'm about to be his age. He's so young. You're gorgeous. Anyways. And then shout out Muddy Mud. What's poppin', girl? What's good? I see you in the valley. You really, it's rough, girl. You just out here, you making it. So love you. Love all of my Patreon supporters. We love all y'all.
Noelle from High Lawn Life Podcast, you're the dopest still. I appreciate you every single time I see you on the tweets,
She
on
has
the
a
tweeters.
Twitch.
Yeah, she's a Twitcher. So that's super cool. And also shout out to Elena, who is here for another month and one of our newer patrons. Thank you for
You're the
following. You're
best.
super cool on Instagram and all that stuff.
Her style is literally goals.
Yeah.
Everything she wears, I'm like, wow, that's dope as fuck. Like, I like that look. Hey, Glow, shout out to you. Thanks for helping us out. Love you. I'm in LA and I miss you. Okay, all right. See you later.
She thought this was her voicemail. No, this is we're still doing a podcast.
Anyways. My bad. I got caught up.
But yeah, thank you for all your continued support, and thank you for helping us pay our bills, and I hope that you guys are enjoying all the extra content.
We love y'all. You're the best.
For anyone that's not a Patreon supporter, that's still stuck around, follow me on MYTE Panda on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow me at Fried Puppy the on Twitter. And yeah.
And rate and review again. Okay, all right, bye.